Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word that we have heard. It is a strange word, we admit it. It doesn't sound like anything in our world today. But we pray, O Lord, whether we believe it to have happened or not, that you would give us wisdom and share with us. While the author of Luke put it there, that we might gain from it the truth that you would have us to gain. This we pray in your Son's name. Amen. In honor of the Super Bowl, I would like to share the following. Surprised to see an empty seat at the Super Bowl stadium, a diehard fan remarked about it to a woman sitting nearby. It was my husband's, the woman explained, but he died. Oh, I'm very sorry, said the man. I mean, I'm really surprised that another relative or friend didn't jump at the chance to take the seat reserved for him. Beats me, she said. They all insisted on going to the funeral. What we do with our time is important. Our priorities are important. And I thought of this as I read the passage from Luke about Jesus' transfiguration. I'm not going to try to explain the story. Most preachers, and me included in the past, have talked about Moses and Elijah and why they are there. We've talked about the disciples falling asleep. We've talked about what happens when they go down from the mountain. I want to look at the story a little differently today. I want us to think about Jesus and what he might have been thinking about during this experience. I think it's pretty clear that at this point, Jesus sees... At this point of his ministry and mission, Jesus is seeing the handwriting on the wall. He knows what is coming. He's not getting out of this alive. I've often said that this account, the Transfiguration, is the beginning of the Garden of Gethsemane experience. And it's because of the Transfiguration that he's able to go through the Garden of Gethsemane when he wants the cup of death to pass him, but allows him to finally say, but not my will, but thy will be done. He can only say those words, I think, because of this experience, however it happened that we heard about today. It's a story that gave him the courage to go to the cross. You know, believe it or not, I think we can get an idea of maybe what's going on in Jesus' mind and in this story if we go to J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy. The Fellowship of the Ring are in the mines of Moria. It's dark. It's scary. There's the fear of the orcs that might be close by, and we find later that they are. And Frodo discovers that Gollum is following them, which Gandalf has known about for a little while already. And we hear this conversation between Frodo and Gandalf. I think the others are sleeping or whatever. And Frodo says, I wish the ring had never come to me. I wish none of it had happened. And Gandalf said, so do all who live to see such times. But that's not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. There are other forces at work in this world, Frodo, besides the will of evil. Bilbo was meant to find the ring, in which case you were also meant to have it. And that is an encouraging thought. I could almost hear Jesus saying to Moses and Elijah, I wish I did not have to go through with what is coming. And you can hear Moses and Elijah speak the words of Gandalf. So do all people who live to see such times. But we have to decide what we do with the times that are given to us. Are we going to the funeral or are we going to the game? Are we going to the cross or are you going into hiding? Remember, Moses and Elijah knew this kinds of feeling. Moses had Pharaoh after him when he led the people out. And even before them, when he was battling Pharaoh with the plagues. Elijah knew what it was like. Because he won the battle with the prophets of Baal and had all the prophets of Baal killed, and Queen Jezebel puts him on number one of her hit list. And Moses flees to Mount Sinai. But in the end, they both continue to live the call. They both continue to follow where God led them. Moses led the people to the brink of the promised land. Elijah went back after meeting God in the cave and continued his ministry in the way that God told him to. Each one of us, this church, is called to live a certain life. To live the life of Christ in the times that we live in. I'll admit, there are times when I wish I had been a pastor in the 40s to the 60s where it was kind of like, if you build it, they will come. People flock to churches. But we're given the times that we're given. And we have to decide, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to be faithful? Are we going to go to the game? Or are we going to go to the funeral? We are given resources. We're given our time, our lives, our material resources. And I think we constantly have to think, in the time that I'm living, in the things that I'm experiencing right now, what am I going to do with that, with all of this that I've been given? How can I be faithful? In a few minutes, we will be installing new offices. But they're not the only ones that have to decide. They don't say, well, at a meeting, we decided this is what we're going to, how we're going to use our resources for this time. But you all need to be involved with that. You all need to be a part of that. You need to decide yourselves what you are going to do with your resources in the time that you've been given. How are we going to use the moments? Will we use them to build up and strengthen the body of Christ? Or to secure our individual selves? I think it's a question that's important for today, as it's always been. It's an important question for our own individual selves. It's an important question for our church. It's an important question for our nation, especially in an election year. Will we hear the words of hope and courage from Christ just as surely as He heard them from Moses and Elijah? And if we do, how will we use that hope and that courage? Are we going to the funeral or are we going to the game? Amen.